praise his name. I don't know about you, but I love Jesus. I love being in God's house with Jesus people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word? I'm ready to try to do the best I can to deliver that to you today. Praise the Lord. Hey, let's just continue to stand together and stay connected. It's really a theme that God has dropped into my heart all the way back in March as we fight a battle of a lifetime. We're in a battle, church, and we win. We win, and I want to say this. We're winning. We're winning. We're winning the battle. And you may have gotten your letter. I tried to get a letter out the last couple of months. I always want you to know at least where my heart is, what I'm thinking, how I'm praying. I'm not always trying to convince you, because we have different opinions about a lot of things. But I think it's important for you to know where my heart is and the direction I believe God's taking us. So in that, if you want a church directory, I gave you my personal email and my personal cell phone. If you'll hit me up, I'll email you a directory out where you can make touches. What we're seeing happen, and we have some folks that made it in today. It's so good to see Paul and Claudia. Claudia, I'm picking you out. Wave at us. Wave at us. Come on now, wave at us. Hey, if you're out there online, the Niles are in the house for the first time since this whole thing started, and they needed to be home. They didn't need to be reckless. That's what I keep telling you. We need to be careful. We don't need to be reckless. But we cannot allow the powers that be shut us down, can we? And Paul and Claudia felt like, well, we may be unhealthy and we've been careful, but we need to get to church. We need to get to the building. And so it's good to see y'all today, Claudia. I love you. I appreciate you. You've been here with us so long. And, you know, we're in for the long haul, aren't we? But our online folks are just as vital. If we're going to stand together and win together, even the folks, and I'm talking to you at home this morning, it's important that we just keep fighting the battle together. When you're ready to come back, that's good. It's okay if you're not. And I really mean that from the depths of my heart and the depths of my soul. But you know, I feel like I have a mandate to keep the doors of the church house open. And that's what we're going to do. And folks got saved last week and week before. And God is moving. God is working miracles. We've had several healings the last few months. Miraculous healings take place. And so just check in. If you're not on the Zoom Bible studies, we had folks come to the men's breakfast yesterday we hadn't seen since March. And I could tell it was just fun to see a face, even if it had to be on a computer screen or a phone. It is so vital in this hour, church, to stay connected one way or another, because the enemy likes to isolate us. Ministering to somebody yesterday, they haven't hardly been out of the house since March. And all kinds of things start happening. The enemy will bombard you. And I'm one to stay up with the news. I read 3 newspapers a day at least, but then I set it down. I watch a little news because I want to be updated, and then I walk away. That's just a little practical advice. If you're staring at the news screen 8 hours a day, it's probably going to be difficult for you. Because I really believe this. I believe it's possible that a greater virus in our nation has become fear and not the virus itself of COVID. And look, COVID is real. I don't buy into this. It's a sham. I have people that have been in the hospital. I know people that have died. I had a friend of a friend just die this past week, 62 years old. But, you know, fear has gripped our country. And we can't allow that to happen, church. We have the hope of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is tangible, and Jesus, or the reality of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, is still wins out. And so I'm committed to serving the Lord. I'm not discouraged. I really am not discouraged. I haven't been discouraged. It's been one of the greatest leadership challenge of my lifetime. And almost every pastor will tell you that, as well as other leaders in our community, government officials, scientists, doctors. Because see, doctors can't do anything right either. I mean, it goes on. Teachers, we have a lot of teachers, and y'all been, what a challenge. But Jesus is the answer. Jesus, I believe Jesus is still the answer. And I believe the church has to stand together, stand up, stay connected, and give the world the hope of Jesus Christ. And now is not the time to shrink back, church. It's the time to push forward, church. Not shrink back, but push forward by faith. Where was I?
Amen.
Paul, it's good to have you back, Sergeant Major.
Amen.
He's going to be my loudest amener today. I know y'all can hear him at home. You'll hear Paul Niles in your sleep. I don't know if that's good or bad, Claudia. Mostly good. In the early 1900s in East L.A., an area called Boyle Heights. Literally, folks had grown up there for generations, and in that current generation, the gangs had taken over. Whew. That sounds real relative to other parts of in the cities in our country. The gangs had, mothers weren't safe with their children. You couldn't go to the playground. Grandmas who had been in this neighborhood when it was a good neighborhood were afraid to go out. Churches, they would run to church and run home. And then a group of ladies in a church, a local church in Boyle Heights, decided they would start gathering for prayer. And as they started gathering for prayer, the Holy Spirit seemed to drop something in one of the ladies' heart as she read the story of Peter walking on the water. And she felt, and those ladies begin to feel, that God was calling them to do something special in their community. That they were supposed to take a step of faith and do something about what had happened in their community. So 70 women, get 70 women decided they would begin to do neighborhood outreach in gangland. And they begin to walk around the neighborhood and sing songs. And they didn't wait for the gangs to look for them. These 70 ladies felt like God told them to take a step out on the water, on the waters of uncertainty, the waters of danger, the waters of storm, and hunt down those gang members. So now you've got 70 Spirit-filled women taking a step of faith in obedience to God, and they're looking for gang members. I tell you, that's courageous. After being gripped in fear for a couple of decades, they decided that the risk was greater than the fear they had been living in. You know what they did? They didn't just sing songs. They just didn't hand out tracts. They took food and chips and salsa and burritos, and they began to feed those boys. They began to talk to them. They began to love on them. And they began to notice as the weeks went by that these men, young men and boys and teenage men in the gangs began to get kind of baffled and disoriented. Every night the mothers walked. They were intruding and intervening into enemy territory. They broke all the rules of war in a sense. They decided they were no longer going to be victims. They were going to be victors. They didn't have the power in and of themselves. They didn't know how they could do it. They said, we'll just take chips and salsa and see what happens and love on people anyway. And God began to move in that neighborhood. Amen. The hopeless, as trust was built, hope began to spring up in those young men and the neighborhood. Poverty was addressed. Together, they opened a tortilla factory. They opened a bakery. They opened a child care center. They opened a job training program. They dealt with violence. They had drug places where people could go get free with drugs. The neighborhood became a great neighborhood again. They began to monitor those that misbehaved. They did all these things, and it transformed the entire community for one reason. Fear was replaced with faith.
Hallelujah.
You want to have an altar call?
Amen.
We're going to talk about Peter stepping out on the waters today. Grace grabbed me, the intercessory prayer team, her and Lynn praying this morning, grabbed me and said, I've had a dream. It was about Peter. It's about Grace walking on water. I said, you didn't have any idea I was going to preach on Peter walking on the water today. Grace is 100% from the Lord. The worship team just sang a song. They had no idea what I was going to preach. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shores into the waves. I'm telling you this morning, not because it's me, but God has something to say to us this morning. He's already speaking and confirming that if we will take a step of faith, God will do mighty things. We've been talking about revival for a long time and praying for revival and really wanting God to do something exceptional. Rise up, people of faith. Stand up, people of faith. Speak up, people of faith. Stand together, people of faith. Stay connected, people of faith. Stay connected to God. Stay connected to each other. But we've got to speak up. We can't be afraid if it's politically correct. We can't be afraid if the news media may hammer us. We've got to speak the truth in love. We've got to speak the hope of Jesus Christ at work, at home, at school, wherever we are. It's not the time for the church to be silent. First thing you have to do is invite Jesus in the boat. You have to invite Him into your heart. You need to make Him Lord and Savior of your life. He forgives our sins. He's faithful and just to do that when we confess our sins. And when you're saved, and just I'm using types here as I begin to read the Scripture, we invite Him into our heart. We invite Him into our life. And when I'm saved, I know someday it'll be worth it all because I can spend eternity in heaven forever. And I'm telling you, it's going to be good. There's no more heartache, no more tears, no more sickness, no more shame, no more woundedness. Someday it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. But once He's in the boat, once you're walking with Christ, once you're in relation, because once you ask Him in, you're as saved as you're ever going to be. But then you begin to walk with Him and you cultivate that relationship. When He begins speaking to you, what will you do? Because He is speaking to all of us. He speaks to us as individuals. He speaks to our households. He speaks to us collectively as a church. When He calls, when He speaks, we're safe in the salvation boat. But if we're going to win this battle in our nation and even in the church, we're going to have to step out of the boat. The battle's not going to be won all huddled in a boat. The battle's going to be won on the rough seas that this world is throwing our way. Matthew 14 and 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Here's Peter. Don't you love Peter? "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was, everybody say it with me, afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And I love this next verse. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And I've run this picture through my mind 100 times. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" When they climbed in the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Jesus is revealing himself in this hour and wants to like he never has before. He's showing himself. He wants to be shown. So what? If you're going to live this kind of life of faith, and I've already touched on it, I'm just going to talk about three things, three concepts, three applications to talk about. First, you got to have faith to step out of the boat. You have to truly believe that to live a life of faith that's powerful and impacting, that you can't live in the boat. You can't live where it's always comfortable. When Jesus directs and Jesus gives directions, or Jesus says, "Come," you've got to be willing to follow His lead. I mean, I want you to think about it for a moment as we talk about this context. Peter was a fisherman all his life, and probably his daddy and probably his daddy. Because typically that was the way it worked in that culture. He knew the water. He knew that sea, that lake in particular. He knew when storms come up. And it's true, different lakes do different things. You ever get on up at Windy Hill at Roosevelt, you better get off the water when the wind comes up, because it's going to be white capping out there. There's other places you can tuck in. He knew the water. He knew how to fish. He knew how to navigate. He knew that the last thing you do in a storm when you're on the water is get out of the boat. They didn't have life vests in those days. So when the storm blew up, your primary hope, possibly your only hope, was to stay in the boat. So he's in the boat in this storm. They're so terrified, they're so terrified. Now, they've been walking with Jesus for a long time, just like many of us. But they're so terrified, Jesus comes walking up. He's there in the midst of the storm, and they don't even know it's him. They even get more afraid than they were because they said they thought he was a ghost. Let me tell you something this morning, and this is for free. God is trying to do something in your life, and He showed up in the midst of your storm, and you're blaming the flesh and the devil and the government and this and that, and He's trying to work in you. It's Jesus. It's not the enemy. It's Him. Yeah.
Good word.
I have a friend that feels like he's called to go to Bible college and hasn't been able to work since March, but he's so focused on other things, he hasn't even thought for a moment that maybe this is the time he starts to study. So Jesus comes up and He calms the storm. Let me tell you what, we have to share the salvation of Jesus Christ. I mentioned fear being maybe a greater virus than COVID. Can I tell you what I'm getting ready to say? I know to be 100% true that this sin is a much greater virus than COVID. Because the wages of sin is always death. People are living in sin. They're living without Jesus. Maybe some of you here are this morning, or maybe some of you walking online. Sin will kill you for eternity. And we have the solution for sin. It's called the grace of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We have the vaccine. It works 100% of the time. I'm thinking about a message. We have the vaccine. I could preach a message on that one. His name is Jesus. We got to have the faith to step out again. He said, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. I want to ask you a question this morning. With all this going on, in your life of faith, are you moving toward Jesus or are you moving away from Jesus? You can't walk two directions at the same time. You're either always moving toward Him or you're moving away. That first little step. You have to leave your place of security. You have to leave your comfort zone. How do you get to a faith like that? How do you walk in a faith like that? Do you believe God has a plan for your life? I believe God has a plan for everybody, every individual, sometimes households and families. I believe God has a plan for the Rock Church. I believe that with all my heart. But, you know, even secular people understand, they may not have Christ yet, but they understand if there's something they want to accomplish, they have to take a step of faith sometimes. How much more should we understand that as the saved? God's got something special for your life, but He's probably not going to deliver it to you on a silver platter. In fact, He may be delivering something powerful and beautiful in our life in the midst of this storm. God has a plan for everybody. And if God has given you a dream, if it's a God-sized dream, it's never easy. It's never going to be easy. But I tell you, sometimes the hardest step is taking that first step. That's a tough step. Because even though you may have a goal and some kind of strategic plan, there's a lot of variables out there. I believe right now, in the midst of the impossible, God wants the church to attempt the impossible. And I'm saying that to you with conviction. And I don't even know what all that means. I believe, as He says in His Word, where sin abounds, so grace does abound. I believe when there's a need, He sends more power. I believe when there's a need, He sends more grace. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe God has a dream and a plan for each one of us. I believe He has a plan for us collectively as the Rock Church. I believe He wants to make an army out of us like never before. I think He wants to make us a gospel-sharing, Jesus-loving, people-loving station like never before. And I believe this with all my heart. The Lord wants to work signs and wonders. I'll tell you, if you don't do anything else, just begin to ask people if you can pray for them and watch Jesus show up. Have any of you been with somebody and prayed that God would heal them? Have you prayed that their anxiety would lift? Have you prayed that their depression would lift? Have you prayed that God provide for you? Have you said, can I pray for you? Because I'm telling you, in this hour, the Lord is dying to show Himself. He's dying to show our culture and this generation. He's not a ghost. He's not some storybook character. He's not just another religion. He's Almighty God. He wants them to know that more than we could ever want. And you have a part. I heard this story, a mother that was a doctor, and she wanted her little girl to be a doctor, and she had picked her up at school with her stethoscope around her neck, and while they're riding in the car, she had, I think, the little girl's second grade, something like that. And The little girl said, Mommy, can I have your... Sure, you can play with my stethoscope. And she's going, oh, wow. She's thinking to herself, she really wants to be a doctor like me. And it was her mother's dream for her daughter to become a doctor. And then about that time, she speaks into the stethoscope and she said, hello and welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order? I always said our children's first words are no. And then maybe mama or papa, I don't know which order. And then fourthly, McDonald's. It's funny how no is one of their first words. We've got to listen to God and pray. We've got to read God's... how do you walk? How do you walk by faith? Listen to God. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. We know that. We've got to be in God's Word so that we know it's the Holy Spirit speaking. You better know that. You got to know this, or you're liable to hear all kinds of things that you call God. But we read His Word. We dig into His Word. We listen to the Holy Spirit. Just not too long ago, it's been in the last couple of years, The View had Vice President Pence on. I don't know if any of y'all saw part of that. I personally don't watch the show. I did it. But Pence was a brave man. And he makes no bones about his walk with Christ. Everywhere he goes, and he uses the word Jesus. He doesn't use God. You know, God can be little g God. Everybody throws the name of God out there. Not Pence. And of course, they're trying to trap him, like I'm pretty sure they do everybody they have on, if they can, you know. And one of the hosts on The View, and I won't mention any names because I just don't want to throw anybody under the bus. She said to him, it's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you. And then she says this to him. That's called mental illness. Am I correct? She said that to Mike Pence as he was talking about Jesus. Well, first of all, we know she's not correct. Of course, the crowd... Hey! Some of those people need Jesus, I think. But have you, Mike Pence, Vice President Pence, being so gracious, he began by saying and responded by saying, he said, hearing from Jesus is a normal part of life. He didn't back down. He said it's a normal part of the Christian life. And I quote, he said, I can honestly tell you my faith sustains me in all that I do, and it's just a regular part of our lives. And then what? And he says, but I'm not unusual. He didn't know what to say. Read the Bible. Listen to God in prayer. Do what? How do I walk on water? Well, just, man alive, do what Jesus is doing. Right? If Jesus loves you, and He does, love others. If Jesus forgives, forgives. If Jesus serves, serves. You want to walk on water practically? Here's your application. Do what Jesus does. Jesus is never afraid. Be strong and courageous. The Lord said He'd be with us wherever we went. Do what Jesus does, and you can walk on water with Jesus. It means to have a walk on water kind of faith. Hallelujah. She got to get out of the boat. I'm going to sow a seed, and we got to get through the weather. But I feel like something in my heart, because we were getting ready to start door knocking, and I think it's possible right now we could do more harm than good to knock on doors. Now, that could change in a few weeks, but I feel like maybe we set up prayer tables. Maybe we set them up all across the city, two by two, and say, we will pray for you. And take prayer requests in downtown Scottsdale or the front porch of the church or anywhere else. We can send prayer warriors by twos and just pray for people. Any request for any unbeliever or believer, and just pray for people that will come up to that table and pray that God will answer that prayer and see what He might do. We don't have the power to change anybody. Some of you guys been trying to change your wives for years. How's that working out for you? I'm just having fun. Let's see what He will do. Because once you step out of the boat, you got to step on the water. You got to walk on water. In other words, you've got to keep walking. You can't take a step. And I wish I had a chair up here. I don't, but I don't think, I don't need a chair. You think I'm going to stand in it? I'm not. Well, you know, when I get out of my boat, I don't jump out because I'll break a leg. Or it wouldn't be good if I'm in the lake. You kind of climb out of it. I believe Peter kind of climbed out and stepped on the water like that. Who knows, really? But he quit walking. If some of you take a step of faith, the first thing will happen, you'll probably get hit upside the head with a giant wave, because the enemy loves to keep the church in the bus or on the boat. So the enemy, and I'm just giving you this, is going to come against you full force, that first step to distract you, because he wants to get you back where you belong. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to go south on the politics, but I have pastor friends in Southern California, and they're having church today. The difference between us and them right now is they may go to jail before the day's over, and right now I won't. You've got to keep walking. He said when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink. And we've been taught this 100 times. You can't lose your focus. Your focus has to be Jesus. The power to do the impossible is the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have the power in the moment. And he said, ask me, come on, let me walk on the water. Jesus said, come on, let's give Peter credit. He was walking on water, but he quit walking. He quit moving in faith. He quit praying in faith. He quit obeying in faith. And when he did, he began to sink. When you begin to disengage and lose your focus, you begin to sink. There's many of you online. There's many of you here this morning. You're beginning to disengage a little by little, and you're getting pounded by the waves that's being thrown at us over and over and over. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We can stand in Jesus' name. We can stand in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can stand by the grace of God. Bring it on. I shouldn't say it because I know it's coming. Bring it on, devil. Bring it on, world. Our God is greater. But we will take the hits. We just don't lose the focus. Here comes a wave. Whack. I still got my eyes on Jesus. Here comes another trial. Whack, whack. I'm right back on Jesus. He knocks me back one step. He knocks me back two. I got my eyes on Jesus. I'm taking three forward. We can do this with Jesus Christ. If you're going to walk on water, anybody can jump out of the boat. How am I going? And let me say this, it's practical. One step at a time. We talk a lot about the leap of faith. I've seen more people sink after they took the leap. And I know what we mean by it. How about just take a baby step of faith? And then after you take that step, just take another step. I know you're trying to get down there, but you know, don't try to. You can't leap down there. Because it takes one step at a time walking with Jesus. to get to the destiny He's called you to and win the battle you're in. And the battle's not won overnight. It's won a step at a time. And then all of a sudden there's victory. But there's victory because you took 10 steps to get there. You won 10 battles to get there. One step at a time. One step at a time. One step at a time. There's a fellow that was in Israel. Pastor. He got to the beach of Sea of Galilee. And the sign read this in giant letters. Take a boat ride to the exact place Jesus walked on water. Free. And I took the boat ride. This isn't a story about me, but when I was there, I took the boat ride out to the middle of the lake. So he went out, he took him up on it, and he viewed it, and he listened to the history of it, and he said, okay, Captain, I'm done. Let's go back. The captain looked at him and said, it cost you $100 to go back. The priest said, no wonder Jesus walked on water. Just take a step at a time. Because when you do, He's with you. Have you ever what we call run ahead of God? Have you ever lagged behind something He's trying to do in your life? Just walk with Jesus hand in hand. Just walk with Him one step at a time. Yeah, He's giving you a dream. He's calling us to battle. But we're going to get there one day at a time. But one thing we're not going to be is we're not going to be afraid. I've been praying. I want you to pray against it every day. Because, you know, I've talked to folks. And if they're afraid, they're afraid. I'm not going to beat them up over that. But I'm going to find a way to help them not be afraid. I'm going to love them in a way. Lead them in a way. You know, God said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Philippians 4:6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, somebody say every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to say it at home, and I want you to say it here. I'm not afraid. In Jesus' name. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43:1 said, but now this is what the Lord says. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine, church. That's what Almighty God is saying to the church. Say, I will not fear. In Jesus' name. The psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God went on to say to Joshua 1:9, which is my calling scripture to this church, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified and discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. Have 33 verses here. We made handouts, didn't we, Gracie? Put the word in you. Read it. What's the last takeaway for today? Faith to seek help when you're sinking. You go, whoa, I don't. Beginning to sink, Peter cried out, Lord, save me. When Peter began to sink, he cried out immediately. What are some of y'all waiting for? I was in a prayer meeting the other day, and I knew everybody, and we're opening our heart about prayer requests because we're all sinking somewhere. We all need Him, don't we? You hear what I'm saying? If you think you don't have a need this morning, deception has set in. And there were a couple guys there. We all opened our hearts. Do you think they said a word? You say, well, that just seems like the opposite of faith. I'm going to tell you something this morning, church. You can stay relatively safe inside the boat. You can hide inside the boat. You can be comfortable inside the boat. You can worship inside the boat. You can pray inside the boat. You can philosophize. You can be a great theologian inside the boat. You can do all those things. But if we're going to be people that take that step and then take step after step, and we begin to walk as Jesus leads us, as Jesus commands us, I'm telling you, you're not always going to succeed. There's going to be times you're going to sink. And so in the church, you know, we pretend like we're not sinking, or we go to church and we're a little better, but everything is all right, even though everything isn't all right. I'm afraid, even though I don't act like I'm afraid. I'm bound in this area, even though I don't act like I'm bound in this area. I have a need in this area in my life, although I'm pretending like I don't. You know, I stepped out of the boat and I've been walking, and now I have this sinking feeling. How many of y'all know the enemy's not going to quit with this thing called temptation? The temptation is going to keep battering you like the waves of the storm. How many of you know you're not perfect, yet you're being perfected? How many of you know you got to wake up in these containers called flesh every morning, and every morning until Jesus comes, I got to wake up with Dale. That's why every day I've got to, with the grace of God, try to get Dale crucified so that I can keep walking with Jesus on the water. But I tell you, when you're living outside the boat, it's a battle. When you're living outside the boat, sometimes you can only take a step at a time, or a half a step at a time. Sometimes when you're living outside the boat, you're getting tossed and turned, but you're keeping your focus. You're never keeping your eyes off Jesus. You never quit leaning into Jesus. But even then, you're going to make mistakes. Don't pretend like you don't make a mistake. Just tell Jesus, I made a mistake. You know how I tell Jesus sometimes when I make a mistake? Help, Jesus, I'm sinking. The first 4 weeks of this thing, I'm telling you what, 80-hour to 100-hour weeks, and people calling you saying, glad you finally got a vacation, Pastor. And I was sinking every day. I was barely treading water every day and night. And so you know what I did? Every day and night, help Jesus, help Jesus. I don't have the mental capacity or the physical capacity or any kind of capacity. Help Jesus. So I get up in the morning. I got up earlier in the morning. Why did I get up earlier in the morning? Because I needed more time with Jesus. I needed to be plugged in to Jesus. Go out today. Buy yourself a new refrigerator. Ladies, you can have it. I don't care what you want. The men are going to write the check. Give me a hand, ladies. Oops. Darla clapped louder than anybody. Our refrigerator is working blah, 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 just fine.
Mine too.
Amen. Hey, amen. Boy, the men chimed in. I'll tell you what, ladies. I'll even let you shop on the Lord's Day. All right. You need a new refrigerator? Where is he? He's at work in safety. He's keeping us safe, your husband. You tell him, Pastor said I could have a new refrigerator. I mean, I really want you to do it and let me know his response. It's a spiritual gift to stir up a little trouble. God-given gift. But I tell you what, Leticia, pack it full of food. Now, since he's buying it, put him a few T-bones in there. But don't plug it in. Peter, unplug! That's it! Out of the mouths of babes. Noah's a little girl, her first word was unplugged. When COVID is striking and they're rioting in the streets and the economy's struggling and people are sick and some are dying and life is uncertain, you've got to plug in to have the power. Because we don't have it in and of ourselves. But realize this, if you're living out on those rough waters, you're going to make mistakes. And all you have to do is cry out to Jesus immediately. Hey guys, you ever pretend like, well, I'll get over this. Oh, two more days later. Oh, maybe I better let Jesus handle this one. You know how I know that? Cry out immediately. Now, I don't... The scripture said he reached out his hand and caught him. And I've tried to, and we'll never know exactly what that looked like. But honey, could you come up here just a second, real quick? Yeah, come on. Watch this. Come on. Give the first lady a hand. Come on. Now watch what I did. Now, go back down. Be careful. Okay. Hop up here in my arms. No. Hey, let me help you. Wait. Let me help you.
Can we continue?
Wait. On the arm thing? Later. Come on, laugh. For you single people, if you're married, that's okay. I think one of two things happened. I think when he began to sink, it's because Jesus reached, he just held him up. And I think he walked him back to the boat. I think it's possible Peter walked on water, began to sink. Jesus held him up and he may have walked back on the water. But he had his hand in Jesus' hand. He made a mistake. Help! Walked him back. Or number two, and this is speculation, but there's biblical principles in it. I think maybe he sank completely. And Jesus reached out his hand, pulled him up and carried him back to the boat. When you're not leaning on Jesus, you're going to sink. If you're not plugged in, you can never be the dad or the father or the husband or the leader or the Christian or the witness you want to be without being plugged in to Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. But because we're human, we're going to make mistakes. But when we're making mistakes, especially the same mistake over, quit waiting around and quit pretending. Say, help me, Jesus. I can't get through this on my own. If you're at home, I can't stay isolated forever. Ask Jesus for help and he will take you by the hand and walk with you and talk with you and support you and give you an ability to walk on water. Oh, you tried to walk on it all alone. But when you're walking on with Jesus, you can walk on water. And if you really blew it, he'll pick you up and carry you back to safety and security. And that's the grace of Jesus Christ, if I've ever heard it in my life. Because he's carried me more times than I would like to admit. This morning, some of you are afraid. Fear has replaced faith. But I'm telling you in my heart and in my spirit, and I need some communion elements. David, I didn't get mine. If you'll... In my spirit, there's a momentum that's taking place inside the church, in the hearts of God people. I believe in the next few weeks and months, we're going to see some really positive, powerful things happen in our country, in our community, and through the church. I'm speaking that by faith because I feel that impression in my heart. I'm not going to let the narratives and the fake stuff and these doctors' opinions and those doctors' opinions and these administrators' opinions and these opposite opinions. We're going to stay focused on Jesus. We're going to keep praying. We're going to stay in His Word. And we're going to live outside of the boat in those rough waters as Jesus leads us and guides us. Church, it's time to walk on water. It's time to break the rules of war. It's time to intervene and intrude enemy territory. And take back what the enemy's taken from us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Steve, come up. If you're at home, grab your communion elements. You know, when we share communion, it's a step toward Jesus, isn't it? Regardless or irregardless of what you may be going through. Today, as we share these elements, both here and at home. And by the way, folks say, I just miss taking communion with my brothers and sisters. Others say, I miss the singing. Oh, I miss seeing people's faces, but today we're going to take communion together, both home and here at the property. And we know that the cracker represents His broken body. The juice represents His shed blood, and I'm trying to get mine open like everybody else. So this morning as a church, you know what our declaration is? He said, do this in remembrance of me. To remember what He did at Calvary as He paid for our sins. And to remember that He's coming back for His church. Has anybody thought about the rapture lately? That kind of comes back on our radar a little bit, doesn't it? Are you ready? You want to know how to stay ready? Always be walking toward Jesus. Whether you've had a good day or a bad, or you walk three steps and sank the fourth one, just keep walking toward Jesus. Keep leaning on Him. I want you to stand here this morning with your elements. And I want you to stand at home. I've had several people say, we stand too, Pastor. We're standing. Pastor Steve's going to say a prayer as we stand together. He is who keeps us connected. Pastor Steve's going to say a prayer, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to take the elements together. Pastor.
Jesus, we are so thankful for what You did for us on the cross. How You willingly came and allowed Your body to be broken and allowed Your blood to be shed that we can be forgiven and that we can be victorious. That we can be a people of faith, Lord, because of what You've done for us. Lord, we thank You for Your sacrifice, and we know it wasn't easy for You. And yet God so loved the world that He sent the best He had,
yes,
His only Son, to take our sin, to take our place, when what we have done deserved death. But Jesus, you came and took our place. And you took our sin upon you. And you allowed your blood to be shed, your body to be broken for us. And Lord, because of the sacrifice you made, and because we choose to follow you, Lord, we can live a life of faith. We can live a victorious life. We can live a life walking on the water because we have our eyes fixed on you and the sacrifice you made, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we are going to be a faithful people. As you were faithful to us, Lord, we are going to be faithful to you to do what you've called us to do. So, Lord, today we celebrate your sacrifice you made for us. We celebrate the blood that you shed, that we can be forgiven. We celebrate the stripes that you took so that we can be healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
And, Lord, we claim each of these, Lord Jesus, because they are promised to us in your word, Lord Jesus. We claim them not because we deserve them, but because of what you did. We can ask for them, and Lord, you hear. Lord, we thank you for this. In your name we pray.
Amen. In Jesus' name, I want you to follow me. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Today.
Today.
Right now.
Right now.
I stand by faith.
I stand by faith.
And not by fear.
And not by fear.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Let's take the bread. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's take the juice that represents His blood. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to praise Him just for a moment. Come on. Praise is always verbal in the Scripture. It's always outward, and it comes from an inward heart. Praise you, Jesus. If you're at home, I want you to praise Him. I want you to stand up if you're not already standing and just praise Him. All over the valley this morning, all over the country, right here at the campus, we're praising you. We honor you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus, because we know, Lord, that you're walking with us. We know deep in our knower that you're walking with us. And we praise you. 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 Well, it's good to be in God's house. We're going to have children's church. And the parents stay with the kids just right in here. And so I know we like to hang out, but we kind of got to keep moving, y'all. So that we can keep the doors open. But I love you. Appreciate all of you. Pray for you daily. Please keep us in your prayers. Pastor Steve will be dismissing us in order.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to share in the comments how God is speaking to you through His Word. If you would like to join our online church community, be sure to subscribe and click the bell icon on our YouTube page so you're notified when we post a new weekly sermon. You can also learn more about The Rock Church by visiting our website, rockag.com. If you are in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, make sure to come visit us for Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. We would love to meet you in person. And if you would like to support this ministry today, you can donate by visiting our website and clicking the Giving tab at the top of the page. Or by texting the amount you would like to give to the number 84321. Then follow the instructions in the text reply. Thanks again for joining us. We look forward to hearing from you.